Tonight I'd like to call your attention to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 1. Numbers chapter 1. As the children of Israel are still in the wilderness of Sinai, they are about 14 months removed from deliverance from Egyptian bondage, and they are about to embark upon a traveling journey to the what is called in the King James the Negev, or the southern portion of the land of Canaan, to a particular place called Kadesh Barnea. And at this particular time, God gives Moses an assignment. Before you get there, this is the assignment. He wants all of the men that are 20 years old and above, that are ready and able to go to war, numbered. And each tribe is to be numbered. And according to verse number 46, by the way, each tribe's number is listed for us out of all of the 12 tribes there, but the totality of that number is 603,550. And so this is the number of men that are able and ready for war that's above the age or 20 and above. And verse number 52 identifies that each tribe is going to have its own standard or own banner. In other words, they would have their general in charge of that, and then Moses or Joshua, soon to be, would be the leader of all of the tribes. But each tribe would have their own division of a section of the army. Now, the book of Numbers actually gets its name from not only chapter 1, but later in the book of Numbers, there's going to be another numbering. After they come out of the 40 years of wilderness wandering, God is going to commission Moses to renumber. And the number is going to be a little bit different than this one. But I want to focus on chapter 1 here just for a minute. And in fact, all of chapter 1 is devoted to this numbering system. Now, in our Bibles thus far up to this point, we can clearly see that Israel can depend upon God. I mean, the 10 plagues, the deliverance, the wealth that they had acquired by the hand of the Egyptians when they were leaving, the fact that they were caught between a rock and a hard place, or they were caught between Pharaoh and the Red Sea, and Moses lifts up that staff and says to them, "Stand still, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." That they walk through on dry ground, and that the Egyptian army, as it is pursuing, is drowned in the Red Sea. And Exodus chapter 14, we see that event. In Exodus chapter 15, there's a wonderful song that Moses puts together that could be entitled, "God is our General. He is a mighty warrior on behalf of Israel." So up to this point, and by the way, they've done a lot of other things to this point. He has provided them with water and food. He has, through the lifting up of the staff of Moses, he has defeated the Amalekites already. This is Exodus chapter 17. And so God has truly demonstrated himself as trustworthy, and that Israel can count upon him. What I believe you have in Numbers chapter 1 is God turning the tables and asking the opposite question. Can God depend upon Israel? You see, they're going to have skin in the game. God has always required, and we talked about this in our adult Bible class with regards to miracles and the providential work of God. God has always required men to have skin in the game. He has always required us to have an investment in everything that He has provided for us. He provides a table of blessings for us in our meals And we pray and we thank Him and we request of Him to give that. But we must work for it. There, we must have an investment in the work that we do. Now, God did not need Israel's help in taking the promised land. We do recall Gideon, right? How that 32,000 men were well beyond too much for God. He wanted to demonstrate His power, so He chose only 300. But you could go to 2 Samuel chapter 24, beginning in verse number 8, and read about, or 23, beginning in verse number 8, and read about the mighty men of David and how one man slew 800 at one time. God doesn't need 603,550 fighting men. In fact, to believe that was David's problem and how he got in trouble for numbering the people in 2 Samuel chapter 24. You see, and a plague rolled over Israel. Many thousands of people died because David chose to not do what Moses is told to do here, but for a different reason. You see, what we have here is God wanting Israel to understand that He had promised them the land. In fact, He said, I've already given it to you. I'm going to send hornets in before you to drive out the inhabitants of the land, but you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to put sweat and toil and labor into this. And so Israel could count on God. But could God count on Israel is really the point of this entire chapter. But now, here's maybe a more pertinent question for us to ponder. Can God count on us? Can God count upon you? You see, we as New Testament Christians, we have been freed from the bondage of sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 18. We have been freed for the purpose of living in liberty under the covenant of Christ. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible speaks of the blessing that we have to have the guidance and direction of the law of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1, that we can walk by. Now, at that time when we become New Testament Christians, we become a part of the army of Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17 identifies the very, as we sing, the panoply of God, right? The armor of God is to be our, here's God supplying us with the armament, but I must put it on. I must be the one who wields the sword in the battle. And so the Lord adds us to the church of Christ, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. And when He does that, He is enlisting our services in His military. You see, we are all, this is not a state in which you get to choose whether or not you're going to be in the army or you're going to be a civilian. See, once you become a civilian, that is, a citizen in the kingdom of God, you are automatically enrolled and enlisted in His military. I think sometimes we forget about this. God is not just concerned about our salvation. He is concerned about our service, our military service. You see, so how sad it is that we have so many individuals that when the Lord calls upon His soldiers to do spiritual battle with wickedness and evil and immorality in the land, 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 through 5, that we have a lot of individuals that are AWOL, right? They're absent without the proper permission, right? They're absent without that. And so they are AWOL, absent without proper authority, not permission, but authority. Some of them are even treasonous in their activity, as Jeremiah expounds in Jeremiah 6, verses 16 and 17. He wanted them to walk in the old paths, wherein is the good way, so God could bless them. And they stubbornly, rebelliously, as deserters, said, we will not walk therein. Verse 17 says, we will not hearken to your voice. We will not listen to you. My friends, in worship, in the manner in which we choose to live, in the work of the church, benevolence and evangelism and edification, in every spiritual activity that could arrive, We need to ask ourselves this question, can my brethren depend upon me? Can my God depend upon me? Let me give you a couple of scriptures as we close out our devotional for tonight. Judges chapter 5 and verse number 23, there is a curse that is placed upon Meroz. It is a harsh curse that the angel places upon them. And why would an angel curse this group of people? He tells us right there, they came not to the aid of the Lord. Now, the Lord didn't need their help. It's not that God somehow needed some assistance and they didn't come. It was the brethren that they didn't help. And when you don't help God's people, then it is a serious thing in the eyes of God. Can God depend upon you to help His brethren? Now, I know this is true because in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1, it says Saul is breathing out threatenings against the disciples. And in verse number 4, Jesus speaks to him and says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You see, Jesus takes it personally when we do not give aid or we do harm to His children. And so, can God count on us? Can God count upon you to increase your knowledge of His Word? Can He count upon you to defend His Word against all of the false teachers that are out there and all of their minions that would distort the Word of God in the hearts and minds of other people so that the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ could not shine among them? Are we ready to give answer? You know, the elders and the leadership of this congregation have encouraged this congregation, as you can see by all of these leaves. We have encouraged you all year long to pay attention to your Bible, to read your Bible, to get better acquainted with your Bible, to spend, and we have, I think, 1,315 books that are now on this wall that we have read as a congregation. And we have just a few days left before this year ends. Might I just personally, this is from myself, challenge this congregation to meet that 1,500 bookmark? It would not be that much in regards to moving from 1,300. That's less than 200 books. If there's 100 of us here, that's just two books. I personally don't care if you choose Jude or Obadiah or Genesis and Psalms. But let's challenge ourselves to meet that challenge, to be ready. See, the whole purpose of this is so that we personally are ready to fulfill 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. To make ourselves ready. Can God count upon you? Can God count upon you to take an active role in the work and the worship of the New Testament church? You see, if we're not here, we can't take an active participant in it. When the elders make a call for different things to be done, can God count on you? You see, here's the shepherds of this flock, and they make a call to you for something, a great need that needs to be done. We make a call for those saints of ours, our brethren down in the Houston area. Can God count upon you to reach in and do what's necessary to take care of them? Those are our brethren. I talked to one of the elders down there today, by the way. He said that many houses were just completely destroyed by that flood in that area and the hurricane, and that four houses are almost ready to even be lived in yet. Four more still need to be built. They're still waiting on the government to be able to decide as to what the flood level plain is going to be in regards to where they can build their house in that same spot or not. And that's not going to come for some time. So some of our brethren will be living in makeshift places during that time. When a call goes forth for us to help and to aid, are we there? Are we ready? Are we willing? Are we on the Lord's side, you see? Are we willing to help in regards to those things? What about can God count upon us to be uncompromising in our fight against immorality and evil and wickedness in our own personal lives? My friends, the invitation is yours tonight. If you're not a New Testament Christian, we want you to be on the Lord's side. Well, you know God wants you to be there. He sent His only begotten Son to die upon a cruel cross, to be treated horrifically by humanity, His own creation. And He was willing and determined to do just that. No matter how bad they treated Him, He was willing to die upon that cross so that you and I might one day spend an eternity in heaven. What a great God we serve and what a wonderful Savior we have been blessed with. Don't you want to be on the Lord's side? It's the only side of victory. I've read the rest of the story here. I know how it ends. If you're not on the Lord's side, my friend, I don't say this with glee, but if you're not on the Lord's side, hell is your only destination. That's the train stops at the front door of hell. And that front door will never open again. It's a sad occasion and we don't want you to be there. We know our God doesn't want you to be there. And so we present the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We want you to take advantage of that by believing that He is who He claimed to be, the Son of God, God dwelling in human flesh. We want you to take advantage of that by changing your life. The Bible calls that repentance. It's a change of mind that results in a reformation of your life. We want to be able to see that in your life as you grow in Christ Jesus. And the only way you can do that is to be in Christ Jesus. And so we want you to make that good confession tonight. And we'll baptize you in water for the remission of your sins. And you can begin that journey with us. You can pick up the sword of the Spirit and fight alongside us, but only if you're on the Lord's side. If you're on the Lord's side, but you have somehow become absent without permission or without authority, then we want you to come home. Prayer and repentance, Acts 8:22, and confession of sin, 1 John 1:9, is God's methodology of receiving soldiers back into His army. Maybe we could implore you and beseech you tonight to do just that as together we stand and sing.